Hey, everyone, and welcome back. Thank you for tuning in live today for the Skill Building Monday Drawing Group. It is Monday, April 15th, and it is noon. And if this is working for you, please let us know in the comments or in the chat, and please tag a friend who loves tattoos. And welcome to Guy Aitchison's Reinventing the Tattoo Community, where tattooers, apprentices, collectors, and the curious are encouraged to join in these live streams, real-world events, to share and inspire and ultimately create better art and tattoos together. We beam out nearly every day and with your help have evolved into a quality network of amazing live and on-demand tattoo and art shows that have all been receiving rave reviews. You can find Reinventing the Tattoo at www.reinventingthetattoo.com. You do not have to subscribe right away. We have three different options that you can use to try it out. The first option is a sample webinar from the Reinventing the Tattoo canon, or you can get some free advice from Guy Aitchison about your unique goals. And I apologize for any kind of background noise. I do have a cat. Sorry about that. Or you can get some free advice from Guy Aitchison about your unique goals, or you can take a comprehensive tattoo history course from Jay Brown. For fellow tattoo history nerds such as myself, that tattoo history course is absolutely phenomenal. Highly recommend it. You at reinventingthetattoo.com, you can also find a full event schedule with full weekly and special event live stream details. For example, if you wanted to join today's show, you could go to the event calendar, find today's event, click on that, and a link will be posted right inside that event. And that will allow you to go through and join us live today. At reinventingthetattoo.com, you can also find access to our Reinventing 24/7 channel, which is a lot like our Roku channel. It's got 13 different episodes going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As well, you can also find a whole host of professional development courses from over 20 world-class tattoo artists. So if you wanted to learn how to tattoo a skull like Bob Tyrell, you can find that there. Maybe you want to learn how to tattoo a half sleeve like Andre Malcolm. Well, guess what? There's a couple of videos there as well. So you can find anything and everything you could possibly be looking for, all available at reinventingthetattoo.com. You can also find Reinventing the Tattoo at both of the app stores, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, as well as our Reinventing the Tattoo YouTube channel, our Reinventing the Tattoo Roku channel, which I mentioned earlier. Has 12 to 15 different episodes going at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as well as all of the major podcast directories such as Apple and Spotify. Or you can do what most people do and just open your web browser and do a quick search for Reinventing the Tattoo, and you will find it all, except for the book, which is still currently out of print. If you can come across a copy of it for sale, please let me know. I've been itching to pick up another copy of it for quite a few years, and as usual, they're always sold out everywhere. So let me know. Once again, if this is working for you, please let us know in the comments and in the chats, and please tag a friend who loves tattoos. We have a number of weekly staple shows we always encourage people to tune into. Starting off on Mondays at 9 a.m. with Drawing for Tattooers with James Wisdom, where we get to go through and discuss basic drawing techniques and strategies. Helps us get back to our core fundamentals and core roots of being a fine artist in the tattoo world. Following Drawing for Tattooers at 9 a.m. on Mondays with James Wisdom. Following that, at noon, we have the Skill Building Monday Drawing Group with me, Jason Leeser, which you are currently watching. And capping off Monday nights at 9 p.m., we have a subscribers exclusive drawing group with Sandy McAndrew from the Reinventing the Tattoo Network. During this subscribers exclusive drawing group, we do go through every week and we pick a different focus for that week, something to help us improve our artwork. But you do need a subscription to either the Reinventing the Tattoo canon or the Reinventing the Tattoo Evolution course in order to access the Monday evening drawing groups. Highly recommend it from personal experience. The Monday evening drawing groups alone are worth every cent. It is absolutely incredible how much you can improve when you make the commitment to tune in for an hour or two Monday nights every week and just see where it goes from there. Trust me when I say it's worth it. Following that, on Tuesdays at 11 a.m., we have the Tattoo Weekly Show with Gabe Ripley, Lauren Gregory, and Fawn Baker. And that during that show, we get to go through and discuss some of the new upcoming legislation or any other relevant news that might impact the tattoo industry as a whole. Definitely recommend you tune into that just so that you can stay on top of all of the new information coming out. On Wednesdays at noon, we have the Tattoo Now Show with Gabe Ripley, where we get to go through and do a deeper dive into the business aspect behind tattooing, whether it's applying for a travel visa to work in another country, or maybe it's talking about marketing and advertising strategies and techniques. Maybe it's how to streamline your client booking process. All of that and a lot more is available, and that is the Tattoo Now Show at noon. Follow that Thursdays at 6 p.m. We have the Tattoo Collecting 101 podcast with Fawn Baker, where we get to go through some of our entertaining stories about collecting our tattoos and how that's had impact on our careers. We also have a number of special live events coming up, events that you do not want to miss. Starting off 17th through 19th in Columbus, Ohio, we have the Hell City Tattoo Convention. You would not believe the lineup of artists working at Hell City this year. Special artists include Paul Booth, the Lord of Darkness himself, Derb Morton, Joe Capobianco, I've been looking at his work for a long, long time, Jimmy Litwalk, Nico Perez, Ty Hugh, James Vaughn, Jesse Levitt, Ron Earhart, Marshall Bennett, his black and gray work is. Jake Meeks will be there, and me, Jason Leeser. I'll be working right next to my very good friend, Seth Mushrush, and that is the City Columbus, Ohio Tattoo Convention. Following that, June 23rd through 25th, also in Columbus, Ohio, we have the first annual Tattoopreneur Conference, where Reinventing the Tattoo will be live at Red Tree Gallery. That is going to be co-hosted by Dark Age Tattoo Studios, owned by Rember. And that is going to be 3 days of business, art, and tattoo seminars. And we have plenty of people presenting. As well as myself, we have Bob Tyrell. He's going to be doing a seminar there. Haley Adams will be flying out from San Francisco. She'll also be doing a seminar. We've got seminars also by Jake Meeks, James Wisdom, and Rember. So it's going to be absolutely loaded. 3 days worth of seminars focusing on business, focusing on art and tattoos. You can't miss it. It's going to be amazing. Would like to go through and take a quick second to thank some of our sponsors and some of the people that make these shows happen. Starting off with worldtattooevents.com, the largest, most comprehensive resource for tattoo events worldwide. They're constantly keeping everything updated. As we know, living in this post-pandemic era, tattoo events and conventions are still getting rescheduled like crazy. So if you are looking for the most up-to-date tattoo event and convention information coming to a city or town near you, or maybe it's one you plan on visiting, it's how I book all my vacations, take a look at worldtattooevents.com. Would also like to thank TattooNow.com, technology for tattooers, the leading edge in professional development, management, and digital tools for tattooers of all levels. They are 100% competitive with any type of CRM, mailing list, or scheduling software out there. So if you are looking for the digital tools to help you get more clients through the door that want to get the kind of work that you really want to do, if you're looking for the digital tools that are going to help you streamline your booking process, take a look at TattooNow.com. Would also like to say a very personal and professional thank you and shout out to Guy Aitchison at GuyAitchison.com. He is the founder and inspiration behind Reinventing the Tattoo, go to guyaitchison.com, where you can pick up a copy of his biomech encyclopedia, some of his tutorial DVDs. He may still have one or two custom coil machines for sale, as well as countless fine art prints and the occasional oil painting, all for sale at guyaitchison.com. Would also like to go through and say a very special thank you and shout out to Amy Nichols over at The Apprenticeship Diaries, maybe not the number one resource, but definitely my favorite resource for tattoo apprenticeship information. If you are looking to understand what a tattoo apprenticeship is like, and you want to get some advice on becoming a tattoo artist, take a look at The Apprenticeship Diaries with Amy Nichols. You can find all kinds of great information on being a tattoo apprentice or an apprentice hopeful, all available at The Apprenticeship Diaries podcast. Where was I? Yes. As always, we ask that if you like today's show, please go through, post a positive review on the channel, help us get the word out. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button down at the bottom of the page. That way you don't miss any future episodes coming up on this channel. If you would like to host a Reinventing the Tattoo event, become a sponsor of our community, or if you are looking for a fine art or a tattoo critique, you can always email management@reinventingthetattoo.com, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Today on today's show, we actually have a special guest artist. Mickey Schlick has joined us, and I'm going to go through and let him in just a second. Here we are. What's going on, Mickey?
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Long time no see. Haven't seen you since Paradise Gathering. That was back in October.
So quick.
But you're also pretty active on a lot of the other podcasts and streams as well.
I've been meaning to get on this one. I do. I've done James's a couple times. I want to get on more. I've now finally got my shit a little bit better together. Not quite as far as I would like, but enough to talk about and give some people some content and stuff to check out.
Awesome. Awesome. So why don't we start off? Let us know where you're from. Where do you work? Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I work in Missoula, Montana. I own a shop called Montana Tattoo Company. I'm also starting a kind of online centered educational, more of like not really tattoo based. It's more of like drawing and like program based, how to deal with different programs. As I try to learn all that stuff myself, it helped me to talk about it. That's, I guess, what I've been up to. I've been doing this about 22 years. First tattoo was probably in 2001, or it had to be 2002. And I got probably about the worst part. No apprenticeship. There was, it was, you know, definitely probably not what most people would want to get into, or a path that most people would say is the way to go. But it's worked for me.
Well, that's awesome. That's all. Awesome. If you had to pick, like one inspiration led you to getting into the tattoo industry, what would you say it would have been?
Yeah, I had a cousin that had a couple of cool tattoos. I mean, looking back, they weren't really cool, but at the time I thought they were cool. And of course, like, you know, in my teenage years, I wanted the, I'm gonna do all the gods, or one's good and one's evil. Like, I had all the ideas, and I didn't ever even really think about it. I didn't know I could draw. I didn't know that that was a thing until I was in my 20s. I wasn't allowed to do any of that as a kid. My dad came home one time, and the neighborhood kids at our apartment, and he came up to the apartment to find out that, like, I had taken a Sharpie to his car to paint it. And he wasn't stoked. I was never able to, like, I couldn't even put any stickers on anything or draw on my arm or anything like that. That was, like, all super taboo. And then I didn't have a bad childhood. I just, I guess there was a lot of attention seeking at one point. And by the time I was 19, I got busted and went to jail for 5 years, and it kind of fell in my lap. So the story I tell is that this thing found me broke, naked, and alone. It's given me everything that I have. And I want to give back.
That's powerful, man. That's really powerful.
Thank you.
You know, it's an inspiration too, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have gone down some dark paths in life, and, you know, they always tend to find their way out, and it's,
well, that's, know, the it's thing,
finding,
right?
That one thing.
You have, and you have the choice every day to make new choices every day.
Yep.
And if you're going to do that, then great. That's the test. You pass the test, you know, don't right. do the same stuff. But that's, I think, kind of one of the things that I've been thinking about talking to people about this stuff. Oh, just opening with, "Hi, I'm Mickey Schlick, and I guarantee I'm the dumbest person in the room." and this is how you work your way out of it, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think I agree with that, considering all of the stuff that you've been doing in the past. You know, I mean, even since I've gotten to know you, you've been pushing the bounds of, you know, technology and, you know, everything like that as well. You know, I've seen you working on some really cool stuff that definitely requires a greater level of intelligence than I think a lot of people comprehend.
But if you look at the rap sheet of shitty decisions, it will throw a definite wrench into that competition. But that's okay. You know, we've all been there. We've all done stuff that we're not stoked about. And then you tell somebody about it and they're like, "Man, look at this shit that I did that was way worse." And so if I can be that person that's like, "Hey, man, you can fuck up everything, and all you have to do is like apply yourself and just like stay motivated." The one thing that I've always kind of looked at, though, is like, I've never really looked at it. I've always looked at it as a lifestyle. So I'm just like on all the time. And that's been to my benefit. You know, it takes a 20-hour tattoo week, work week, and turns it into 70, 80 hours of mostly free time. But, you know, it is what it is.
So getting into some of the nitty gritty. So I've got some standard questions I always like to ask people just out of pure curiosity. So what would you consider your primary medium to be as an artist? You know, this is obviously a tattoo centric show, so let's look outside of tattooing. But as a pure artist, what would you say your primary medium is? I know you work a lot with digital.
I would fight you all day to not have to say what my primary medium is. I do digital. I think right now my main thing is digital, and I've had to accept that, it's not, you know, if I wanted to be an oil painter, I could be an oil painter. If I wanted to be a digital artist, I could be a digital artist. I just want to create shit, and I don't really care. You know, I'll spray foam on a board and cut it up to look like rocks and then texture it with plaster. And I'm just as happy doing that as I am doing, you know, there's a bunch of, half of these paintings behind me are airbrushed. The other half are all digital, sometimes in Photoshop, sometimes in Procreate. Lately, I've been getting into 3D a lot. I have some motorcycle tanks that I painted back here, a car too. And I really love just like, the thing I've always said, anything from skin to steel. And I really like being flexible and just understanding the tools and the mediums that are available to us so that you can apply it to whatever you want. And I guess that's I enjoy learning and trying new things. And unfortunately, once I've learned them and I do something and I'm like, "Oh, that's great," I kind of don't do it that much anymore, which hurts the marketing ability, but I'll figure that puzzle out too.
Right on. So have you noticed any kind of a correlation between the art that you create, regardless of which medium you're working in, and the tattoos that you do? I know sometimes artists will draw a correlation between, "Oh, you know, I work primarily with oils, you know, outside of tattooing. So, you know, there's a little bit of a correlation there. Or I work with, you know, watercolors and liquid acrylics," or, you know, I build a lot of clay sculptures and, you know, so I'm constantly thinking about things in that aspect. So have you noticed any kind of a correlation between the art that you create and the tattoos that you create?
You know, I think like early on, I got into the realism kind of stuff, and I've leaned on that a lot and in allowing people to ask and gradually learn how to draw. And then in the last few years, I've really gone back to like the basics of drawing and how to, you know, put shapes together and stuff like that. I see correlations everywhere, but I good at like problems and cutting it in half, right? So I can see all of those things connect to tattooing, right? From color palettes to line work to whether something's bold. The issue I find that more people have a problem with is trying everything in tattooing, right? Like, not everything is going to correlate. You can get away without lines, but getting away without black is not advisable. And there's just certain, you know, aspects that you have to consider. You know, it's also not a opaque ink, and it's also not an ink, it's a paint. So the more you can kind of like, I think they all correlate in different ways. Lately I've been liking my favorite thing right now is or digital or clay. And I think it really solves so many problems that you don't, you know, when you're learning how to draw, you're trying to approach all of these topics. But then once you start, you know, understanding these forms in 3D, perspective and lighting problems go right out the window, because it's there, the answers are there, you know, like if you have the forms right, so it looks good and you can turn it around, it's hard it can be.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of 3D modeling before, and that it's not easy. It definitely takes a different type of mindset to really go through and, you know, work to create something that's three-dimensional in a virtual environment. So bravo to you for that, man, because that's on another, like, I can draw a pretty picture, but like creating a three-dimensional form, it's a bit more than my mind can process, because I usually look at whatever I'm working on, whether I'm sketching on an iPad or paper or whatever. You know, it's, to me, it's a window into another world, but you're only seeing one view of it.
Right.
Right? When you're working with 3D, whether it's virtual or physical, you're not only looking at it from one way, you're looking at every angle all the way around the object, you know, and Correct. Thus you have to start thinking about, okay, well, if this looks like this on this side, what's this going to look like on this side? You know, and then how is this all going to fit together? Is this the right proportion over here that it is over here? Is this at the same angle or proportion that it needs to be than down here? So it takes a different type of mindset to really kind of contemplate how to work with three-dimensional structures in that fashion. So I applaud you for that, man. That it's not easy.
Well, I mean, the thing that I would say about that is that I think it's easier than drawing. And I think that, like, because we're already working in 2D, you know, it's really easy to be like, hey, what are these drawing principles and how does this stuff work? And you're absolutely right. You have to think about it from a ton of different angles. But here's my sales pitch. The issue is that if you make that, can change the angle, then every shot that you take of it, every image that you produce of it, could be a different tattoo. The line work's already worked out. The lines, the shading, the lighting, everything's already a realistic photo of it. You can even then take it into Procreate and just draw a line drawing over it if you want. But all the homework is done. So if you do a lot of five-eyed tigers and you make a five-eyed tiger and then you just change the light and the angle so that it's a thing every time, it's really yours, it's your style, it's your image, but now you can make one piece of flash that's going to give you 20 tattoos over the years, and they're all going to be custom and unique and one-off. So learning curve does kind of like offset everybody's desire to get into it, especially because it doesn't apply directly to tattooing. You still have to translate it a bit. But in terms of like making your own reference that you can copy, like and use many times over, it's definitely a great tool. I avoided it for years. I spent a year neck deep in it, and it's definitely worth putting a couple of hours into.
Good to know. Might have to pull back out some of my 3D software and start working with that.
Do you have Nomad?
I do not.
Okay. But you got iPad, right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to drop. It's actually going to be a series of videos. I have the files already made, but I don't have the videos made. That I'm calling, and you would love this, or maybe you wouldn't love this, I don't know, the Danger Noodle Doodle tool. Or tool, maybe. And it's basically, I've gone through and sculpted a bunch of shapes. There's a couple of primary shapes for like a dragon head and a snake head, dragon body, snake body, octopus tentacle, and then future updates, when somebody gets one there, it's updated forever. There's going to be the matte caps and textures also to like kind of make a dummy in 3D that you could then take into Procreate and get everything right into perspective for the people that like, I had the hardest time turning certain shapes, especially long flat ones or long round ones in space for a long time. And there's a million ways around it, but you know, I made this one file, and the beauty of 3D that you don't have to repeat people's. When you get it, you get all the files, all the videos of how I made it, and all the files of what I've made in the process.
Pretty good, man. I'm definitely gonna take a look at that.
Oh, yeah.
You use a lot of modern technology, iPads, computers, lots of different types of software. How would you say that's impacted your process when creating art and maybe designing tattoos? Would you say it's had like a significant impact? Would you say it's, you know, maybe another tool in the toolbox?
You know, it's a little bit of both, right? It's definitely another tool in the toolbox. I think that, like, especially if you're a traditional artist, like you shouldn't not know it. Internally, it's definitely like set my production capabilities on fire, right? Because I can make one image, you know. Now I'm kind of looking at it like I have times when I'm making some kind of art that maybe I'm painting it or drawing it or whatever, and some really creating an image, my reference image. I'm trying to make, you know, something that I can use going forward. And it's really just given me the ability to make, you know, way, way more in the same amount of time. So I spent a lot of years drawing right on people, and I'm going to draw it on you, and we're going to go to town. Doesn't really matter what it is. It can be an airplane. It could be a chrysanthemum. It can be whatever style. And I did pretty well. It was pretty successful for a bunch of years. And then I got into thinking, well, what if I, you know, draw it and then take it off and redraw it. And that went pretty good for a bit. And now I'm like, okay, well, I can still pretty much put a tattoo together in place again. What if I get us 90% of the way there in sculpture and 3D, where all the way up until the last minute of the tattoo, I can change the camera angle, the lighting, the colors. I can change every little bit of it. And if we put it on and a piece needs to be changed, I just draw it how it should be changed. It's not that big of a deal. So it's really given me the ability to dial in on making one little part perfect at a time and then repeat it, right? So like in the instance of a snake, you can make, instead of doing the math to do the grid and then splitting the grid in half to make the scales, you can make a scale and then repeat it as many times as you need to make the object you want, right? And everything is like that. So instead of needing to get a whole chapel correct, you might need to get a couple of arches and a couple of pillars correct, and then you put them together and you have an awesome image and you made everything and you spent the time to make it perfect, but you only had to do each thing one time. And so just all around digital, it helps us to be a more, or helps me to be creative, more creative, faster, whether or not you call paintings or art, is, I guess, up to the viewer. And I don't really, I'm just having fun doing it.
Right on. So knowing that you work with a lot of technology, what in your opinion do you really see being like the next big technology advancement in this industry?
In tattooing?
Yeah. I mean, the iPad was revolutionary, right, for us.
Absolutely.
Because with the iPad, we had this virtual tablet that we could sketch and draw on. We no longer really needed tracing paper. You know, you can cram 1,000 different layers into different documents. Maybe not 1,000, but depending on the size of storage of your iPad, you might be able to get, you know, a couple hundred. But it was this huge revolutionary thing, right? So long, you know, tattoo flash sheets, no longer really needed for that. Now we've got these Procreate stamp brushes that people can go through and create flash. It's actually part of the seminar that I'm going to be doing at Paradise this year, is creating your own flash stamps. You know, then people can go through, sell, trade, all types of stuff to go through and kind of make a little bit of secondary revenue. But that's, you know, outside the point, you know. So it's like, what in your opinion do you think is going to be the next step?
Well, the next thing, unfortunately, is the AI, which, you know, we can argue it all day. I always play devil's advocate. So the people that are like, no AI, I'm like, here's why AI is really great for us. And then there's a bunch of artists that, you know, I've been looking up to for years, and I can clearly tell like all of this current shit is AI, and you're like, you're a person that can tattoo and you can probably draw and you got all this shit straight. But you know, the reality of the situation is if you can make 500 iterations in an hour, and you can work it all out from thumbnails that way, then what are you going to do to stop it other than argue it, you know? So what I'm trying to do is kind of like blend all that stuff. You can take a specific, you know, it's like use the AI. It's, I guess it's going to be stringing it all together. Right. So for me personally, my current way that I'm looking at it is I'll use AI if I don't know what I'm exactly needing or going for, and a lot for realism, right? So if you need a wolf or a bear or a moose, that there's a million of them on Google, and you're going to get on there and do a realism tattoo anyway, that's a good way to come up with a couple hundred of them real damn fast. What I like to do from there is go into 3D and make a base image that I can use many times over. From there, you can apply different filters to it that will make it that you could, from those filtered JPEG images, from those filtered still images, you can then make Procreate brushes. And then, so if you have one eagle head and you went and spent all the time making this thing super dope, you can have that as flash from 20 different angles, because now you're starting to like marry these programs together, right? Marry these processes together. And then, you know, you have a greater understanding, and everybody's going to have more independent reach. I think like everybody's going to have the ability to create more. And, you know, I guess the big conversation right now is how are we going to be scanning people in? Because that's super cool. Looks really good. Especially if you want to display tattoos, or if you want to work on a model around their existing tattoos. Me personally, I'm trying to work on a method where it's different approach. You get the person's face and body type, but not their existing tattoos. Difference being that you can see the person moving, and you can see the tattoo moving on the person if you get all the if you get everything right. And it's not a super long process, and they're not super expensive programs when it comes to like what you're gonna sell the client on. It's a day of work to buy some of this stuff or less. So hopefully it's going to be a more more understanding. Technology's not going anywhere, and everybody needs to embrace it. And all the old guys that are super adverse to it are the new tatty babies. And, you know, like, I'm not gonna, well, just like tattooing this style of shit because you're probably scared about it and you're probably not that great at it. And if you took the time out of your day to be like, how does this work? And I now understand these tools, then you got it. But if you're constantly like, I'm drawing my next thing for tomorrow today and I'm working based on what was doing yesterday, as opposed to like aiming for a goal that where you want to get to, you know, you just stay in that hole while everybody else figures it out. So I'm hoping to help people with that problem.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I've got my own thoughts and feelings on AI. I mean, I know some artists out there will run things through an AI program and then it's like, cool, what do you think of this or this or this? And, you know, it's like, cool, well, that's what you get. I like to use AI and I've started to embrace it more and more recently, you know, trying out different programs, different platforms, different ways to generate those images. But I'm using it more for inspiration. You know, say I'm gonna end up tattooing a Medusa on someone, right? Well, if I use AI, sometimes I can come up with different concepts I wouldn't come up with it. AI would come up with different concepts, perspectives, or, you know, maybe scenes or additional elements to use in that tattoo that could jog my own inspiration. Things I would have never thought of.
And there's also, I know, opportunities that, you know, you can feed your own and say, hey, game I love whoever.
Right.
I don't feel developed enough to do that. That's the thing. It's going to come like 200 in an hour, whatever
right.
ratio that is, you know, stupid not to use. And I feel that, you know, DaVinci, a couple of methods or as far as the grid, one different way, a 3D view of the world on a 2D surface, and everything in is eating, right? Making our own brushes, mixing up our own paint. I'm in tattooing that, you know, people aren't doing certain things, but in reality, like, that's kind of like how industry is and the world works, right? And I don't think that the tools are cheating. I think that, like, not understanding them, if it's something you need, if it's not something you need and you're happy just like pushing the 13 colors around all the time, and a method that you like to work, I wish I had that. I look at some. It looks interesting.
Right.
So, you know, that's as I talk to this who are well, what the time that manages your stuff is all this and all these different things that you do and all the medium. So, I'm trying to bring together because I know there's other people that feel. ADHD artist brain and are struggling to like stay focused and that's part of it, you know, to market yourself. But if you're at one place in your career and you're trying to step into the next place in your career, I'm happy to share all of my experience and make some share with everybody else also.
Right on, man. Right on. And coming from the perspective of other people in the industry, man, I thank you for that. You know, finding that next step can be really scary sometimes. And, you know, trying to go through and saying, okay, well, I've been doing the same thing in the same way with the same tools for so long. You know, I personally get bored. I know a lot of other artists get bored as well, because you start to plateau after a while. And then you start to ask yourself, well, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? But having someone like you that's so forward thinking.
Well, I'm plateauing also. And I'm like, okay, if I can't make it through these other people that I look up to, because we're on the same timeline and I'm progressing as they're progressing, or take some kind of long cut or secret journey through the center of the earth or something to like come out on top of this. And or at least come out competitive, you know, because there's just so many people. It's, you know, people have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So next question I have you noticed any kind of a drawback to working with some of this more advanced technology in relation to creating your tattoos? I know myself, I go down a rabbit hole, man, and it's like I lose an entire day just diving into like some of this AI stuff, just playing around with it, trying to figure out how it works, when, you know, that could be a day that I spend working on something else. You know, maybe drawings coming up, or maybe it's, you know, a painting that I started that I never finished, you know? So, I mean, that's just the way my mind works, but have you noticed anything, any kind of drawbacks to working in this kind of method?
So far for me, the biggest drawback is like, you can't tattoo all of it, right? You can't, so much more detailed than you would ever get to in a drawing or a tattoo. And I recently did something just this past week. It was a griffin. And I spent 3 or 4 days sculpting it and then a day and a half tattooing it. But, you know, it ends up tiny on the forearm. And I can make this thing so I can do a 4K shot of its face. So a lot of times I'm not getting to where would be a great finished place in the sculpture before I just because I know that the information I put in is not going to translate. And you're completely right. It's a giant investment in time and energy for, you know, if I don't need that for tomorrow's tattoo. So what if I, now that I've been made and posed and set up, what happens if I go back and spend another 2 days on it that I'm not getting paid for, or another 1 day on it that I'm not getting paid for, and I really dial it in, right? And then I can make 5 different rendering and lighting of it. The benefit for me or my attempt is like, okay, now if I can turn this into subject matter for people that want fantasy art or surreal type back pieces, like huge pieces, and you want one of a kind, and I can make these creatures 1 or 2 a couple of times and just really dial them in. Your ongoing productions of the same thing just become so much faster, right? Because then to do the second one, you just change the color if you need to, take a different photo, and it's like 2 different photos of the same animal that you would never bat an eye at if you had it in Google or in 3D. But now you have absolute complete control over the wing style, shape, spread, how it goes, you know, which way it's looking, if the mouth is open, is there a rider on it, how's the tail look. You have, you know, maybe it's just because I'm a control freak.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you have unlimited possibilities when you're working with 3D. Because you can change the angle slightly, and then you can change the light source, and it's almost like you come up with a completely different concept. So it's really impressive. It really is.
I think also, like, when I think about it, one of my earliest memories of art is my dad just being like, yeah, if it's not realistic, then it's not art, then they're just bullshitting, you know? And, so I really always kind of leaned into portraits and realism, and especially if you can do a face, you know. And I read early on, if any problem that you're going to run into in realistic drawing, you're going to run into between the ears. Just 1 second, I'm taking a package. So that's what I've kind of always leaned into. Thanks, man. Slick. Now that's kind of the thing too, right? Is I'm still trying to create something, but I've always looked at, you know, the epitome of art or the high ground is, you know, can I make something that's I'm imagining and make it look realistic, right? Louis Royo, Boris Vallejo, anybody that's like, you know, can I make a thing out of my mind and make it look realistic? And what that really means is like, is my brain going to believe that this could exist? Maybe even in a dream. right? And then, you know, then it takes out some of the work in, you know, switching to 3D then takes out some of the work in getting things in perspective, getting proportions right, you know. But then you can also thumbnail a lot looser, and you have, you know, come up with 20 thumbnails where your idea is getting hashed out, and that's where you're spending your drawing time. And then you have this other thing where you can put that image together in an hour and a half, and then you go to OpenPram, spend another hour and a half there getting everything just perfect. And you know, I mean, imagine just with dragons, right? I did a sculpture of this dragon. I haven't sold any tattoos from it yet. Can I share a screen?
Yeah, go yeah. for it, by all means.
Let me share. I think it's this one. Okay. So we're going to go to... my way here. Mickey. So this guy. So I made this sculpture in ZBrush, I made it in ZBrush, lit it in Marmoset Toolbag. And this is one sculpture that has a bunch of different textures applied to it, right? So it doesn't exist in real world. These are all just computer generated images from a 3D sculpture that I made. Right. So then I don't know what these trees are. So then you come from there and you have it apply a texture like this one in the middle. Let me see if I can blow this up. Where it's just basically, right? Like you could run this sketch through a ThermoFax machine. And then because you've set it apart like that, you can switch it. You can, you know, mess with the curves and change it to a black and white image. And then you can apply.
I think we're still waiting for the screen to catch up to you.
Okay.
Because right now I'm seeing the back pieces and the sleeves. Yeah, yeah, no,
that's
perfect.
That's what I'm showing you. That's exactly
what
I'm
showing you. Okay, cool.
So all those back pieces are from this one model, right? So the center back piece that's just a line drawing is basically the same as the model above it, right? It's just lines instead of this pearl texture.
That's wild, man.
All of those are just different angles of the same sculpture, with different colors applied and different negative space for flow, right? Even the left one and the right one, it's, I think, the exact same image probably. And this is just concepts. So now off of one sculpture that I think took me 2 days, you know, if I could sell all of these back pieces, that's quite a bit of work. It's quite the offset in the homework time, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. That's pretty awesome.
So just in terms of like, hey, if you want to, say you want to do koi fish, right? And you go in and you make one and you say, cool, I think this one's perfect. Now I can do 50 different images from that one that could be tattoos. Now, the tattoo is going to look like a tattoo. The sculpture looks like a sculpture. You're just creating the image that you're then making the drawing for them. So I know the hard part about explaining this to people is like you're shoehorning in a whole chunk of stuff that you have to prepare for and educate yourself on in front of the process that you're already using. But once you then get to the production phase of cool, now I can make 30 different cool koi pieces. When you want a different koi fish, you just grab the one that you want and pull the pieces into the place that you want them so they look cool, and now you have two. If you need a pool of them, you just copy them.
That's pretty awesome.
It definitely
takes a lot of the guesswork out of it.
Yeah, it takes a ton of the guesswork. It's not just that it takes the guesswork out of it. It allows you to focus on each and every square inch of the model, statue, whatever you want to call it. As opposed to like making sure you have everything right from one angle and getting the perspective and everything right, you're really spending your time going in and dialing down. Hey, what do I want the texture on the teeth to be? What do I want on the eyes, you know. Unfortunately, like I said, even if you're doing these as back pieces, a lot of that stuff is not going to translate when you get into the smaller details of the sculptures, right? You can make a 4K image of something really close up. But if you go through the work to do that, then you can make any image you want. And you have complete control over everything. You just have to spend the time doing it.
That's fascinating, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. So I can stop sharing this.
Like that's so my mind's still trying to process that, but that is in a really unique, really revolutionary way to go about doing things. And you're right, for the amount of time that you put into it, what you can get out of creating that one model is, you know, just incredible.
Okay, hold on. Hey, so check it out. I'm going to show you something else, but I'm logging in on a different account, and I'm going to have to mute this microphone and use that microphone.
Okay.
But I'll be on both screens. Can you let me in over there?
Yep.
All right, dope. Okay, I think this is going to be right. So let me figure out how to share on this one. Ooh, damn, share screen is not supported. All right,
I'll send you a video.
Let me turn this one off. Okay, I'll end up sending you a video of it or sharing a video of it. But this whole dragon was made on ZBrush. In Procreate, it's also extremely easy. Or not Procreate, but Nomad, it's like super easy.
And Nomad, just for clarification, Nomad is an application for an iPad?
Yeah, and you know, I like using PCs. However, it's like with Procreate, that's not the language everybody else is speaking. So I'm going to try to make my cool stuff into the programs I like and figure out how to translate those lessons down into the tools that everybody has.
Right.
And so a lot of it translates, you know, some of it doesn't, but generally, you know, all of these companies and all these programs are competing with each other. So chances are they have their own way of doing each of these applications or you know, if you have something that you have to do within one of the programs, they all have their own way of doing it. And they just have a copyrighted thing that they call it, you know? So whether it's depending on how it's, you know, you're merging tools or whether you're, you know, able to use layer styles or you have to do something different to get the same effect in Procreate than you do in Photoshop, for instance, possible to do everything in both places. So as much as I love ZBrush and it's really powerful, Nomad is a really incredible program, and I would recommend people definitely check it out. And on lowbrowknowhow.com, one thing that I do is offer I'm looking for content to post, and if anybody else, you know, if anybody has a question about these types of things and they want to ask it there, I will make a piece of content to share with everybody. Here's how you do this. So I'll send you a couple little videos from this Danger Noodle tool if you want, and I will give you access to it if you want to play with it, and then at least you don't have to restart the wheel. You can learn how to use the tools without worrying about, hey, am I making this look right? Right? Don't worry about that later. Don't worry about it. Hold on. Let me turn this back. Come on. Sorry about that.
Hey, no worries.
So what was the last thing I said? Oh yeah, I'll give you a link to it.
I'll
show you, and you can, you know, if it works.
Right on. So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've faced, you know, when working with this technology and, you know, applying that to what you're doing every day? You know, has it been like a huge learning curve? Is it, you know, more or less just, it, has the challenge been more time management, you know, because you're spending, you know, multiple days creating these, you know, as instead of tattooing, you're working on these in order to create more tattoos later. Has that been a challenge to prioritize? You know, and how have you overcome some of these challenges that you've been faced with?
You know, the worst challenge is just doubting yourself all the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, like, through a bunch of work at the point where nobody saw what I was doing, stood, and I just had. And so I've come to accept that, like, once I give myself a challenge, then it's just all about my willingness to walk that path to make that stuff happen. There's definitely a learning curve, and definitely for me, I'm very flexible. So I can draw shapes and perspective that, like, that's a different animal that I've had to tackle in the past and that, you know, I feel confident about. So I know that when a person gets here, my safe place is like, I'll draw on you. Probably a bigger challenge to get me to go out of my way to, like, tackle this. But I do see, you know, a sliver of like, oh, I bet that when I get to the end of this tunnel, it's just a garden on the other side. And, you know, it makes it worth it, right? And, like, what are you spending your time doing? For me, this is really where I get my joy in, like, making stuff and doing stuff that's, like, where other people, especially other people that I look up to, are like, yo, what is that? Or how did you do that? Or what a concept, you know, idea. Management is an issue. If... smoked quite a few relationships on, hey man, I'm going to be over here making stuff. But I think if you're flexible enough to know, like, hey, this, it's like the right. If I use this in my the idea generation, and I'm not just sitting around like twiddling my thumbs, trying to figure out, then it can really inform what you're doing and it can really help you grosser and make your life a lot easier. You know, the amount of times I spent trying to draw something for 2 days before I really tackled the basic concepts is I can't count. The amount of days that I sat in a tattoo shop and did nothing, I can't count. You know, and if you apply yourself, you take a small amount of that time and you apply it, then, you know, it can just really empower everything that you do so much more, where it's not, it doesn't have to be an endless. I think one thing that's been that I benefit from is the fact that I try so much stuff and I have so much interest in trying new things. Whereas I know a ton of people think about art in a way where they're like, this is what I'm going to study anatomy and I'm going to study it forever and I'm going to perfect it. Right. And I think it's more about understanding some of these concepts than stuff. Super understanding of perspective. So I think we all have to figure out how to let go of the things that we're using to hold ourselves back and the excuses that we're using to hold ourselves back. Because, you know, you're the end all be all of you. It's on you if you're going to stay in a spot that you're starting to lose love for, or feel that is not as good for you anymore. And I know a lot of people when they're like, I've chosen that this is what I'm going to do, and that's the one thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to work this way all the time. Then also this should be looking for your thing you have found. Then how could you not try?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point. So if you had to give one piece of advice to any new budding artist out there, what would it be?
Spend the money and invest in yourself all the time. Because if you're out here working, you know, I feel extremely privileged and lucky in my own situation because I did 5 years in prison and came out with no college debt and a career that has paved my whole way. Now I've gone, I've gone from a little gray box. I think that, what was the specific question? Sorry, I got lost.
If you had to give a piece of advice to any new budding artist out there.
I see so many people, I call it saving yourself into a hole, right? Like if every corner of your being is about saving money, then chances are you're not really investing the time and energy that it takes to make yourself take yourself where you want to go, right? So invest in education, always invest in the tools for yourself. Don't worry about that stuff because I have no educational background at all. And I'm, you know, over $200 an hour. We're charging people more than $3, more than $1 a minute, more than $3 a minute. You know what I mean? Like take off. If you're going to try to make money and try to generate cash and support a family and stuff, it's the best investment you could ever make. It's going to pay back more than anything, you know, and take the time to learn how to do things and do them right. Right. I had an instructor one time and his motto was, it's not that practice makes perfect. It's that perfect practice makes perfect, right? You have to practice doing a thing perfectly, to learn to get to that level of mastery. And, you know, I tell people all the time, 1,000 hours of work behind me that I'll never get a dollar for, that'll never get sold, that is, you know, whatever, but it sold $1 million in tattoos just from people coming in and feeling like the vibe was right and liking the art, even if they weren't getting it from me, you know. It's taking that time, your ability to at least let people know. I don't think I've developed a style of my own, but I do think I've developed enough of a visual language to let people know that I know what I'm doing and I'm here to walk them through the process.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what truths have you found that are simple about, you know, everything that you do, but not easy? I love this question because I get so many varied answers on it. But, you know, we want to look for truths that are simple, but not easy. You know, it could be about the industry, could be about, you know, working in 3D, could be, you know, anything.
Well, I think personally, like, you know, it's a weird place to be in where this and everybody is dying to be professional and I want to be professional and we all, you know, I'm in the same boat as everybody else. However, we also have to respect the fact that tattoos were here before any border, any law, any current language. And so you're going to do to stop. It's the same with the conversations with the AI, with everything else. It's like, you're not going to get it out, dude. It's going to filter into everything. And if you treat it right, it will always be there for you. It picked me up at my darkest place. You know, if you just believe in yourself and you believe in the fact that like you're good in the world and you're trying to give back, it'll come back. And sometimes that's really hard to understand or think or feel. And you know, a lot of it's bullshit, this stuff. You know, I worked for a company for a while and they were selling ink and you don't really realize that like, yeah, this thing looks super dope, but they're doing a brand new fresh layer of it every time they take a picture, you know. Like, or I'm the ink company, it was like they wanted to be big powder base, and then I was there when they switched to pre-dispersed, which is what everybody makes and uses. But at the same time, like, you know, that's not what we were first got there,
right.
You know, it's kind of like you can never really take anything at face value. You have to look into it and know, like, okay, is this a gimmick? And is this, did this person find out a formula and that formula makes sales? And I'm at the other end of this, like something is going to really help and inform me and how I work going into the future. And, you know, taking the steps and the time to just go through the process of learning those things that are going to help you get to where you want to be a Procreate or Photoshop or Squarespace or, you know, any kind of other program that you could think about or tool. You know, you're going to have to take the leap. You're going to have to spend the money to do the thing. And then once you do, it's going to pay back. And, you know, it's made all the difference to just continually. I think that's my safe place now, right, is like learning and trying new things. I tell everybody, I turned 21 and when I was locked up and I was in the hole at the time. And I just swore that I would never celebrate another birthday. I would just work on all my birthdays and I would work on all the holidays if I could just do this. And, you know, it's worked out to the better 90% of the time.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good advice, man. Real good advice. That kind of wraps up everything that I wanted to talk to you about today, man. Thank you for taking the time to jump on here. Always appreciated, man. And in fact, we've got a QR code already set up for you. So if anyone wants to reach out to Mickey, go through, scan the QR code at the bottom of the screen. And that should take you right over to his website.
Mickey, can I give you thanks. A different site also?
What?
Can I give you a different site also? Just
yeah, shout. Sure thing.
So I don't have it linked right. I also have lowbrowknowhow.com. I'm going to offer the Danger Noodle Doodle tool set.
Okay.
For whatever reason, it's not up letting me upload the files right now, but I do have a interest registry. So if anybody wants to register theirs, it's going to be worth an extra 20% off the sale price if you sign up before I get the store lined up right. And you get updates for life, right? If you let me email you and I update and put new textures in there, new maps, new body parts for these things, you'll have access to that forever. You'll get an email update. You just download the new files. Away you go.
Yeah, I've got, let's see. There you go. Lowbrowknowhow.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, feel free. Go through, scan it, take a look. You've got some great stuff that you've already have on there. And thank you so much for jumping in today. I really appreciate it. It's been an honor to have you on here, man. Hopefully we get you back on here again soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go sign up with all the, I just got the reinventing message again. I'm going to start hitting all of them every time so that I can, reach out a little bit more to people. I know people are looking
right on
for information.
Well, it's always appreciated. Man, thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, you too.
And for anyone out there that wants to reach out to me, if you have ideas for people you'd like to have on this show, or if you have questions you'd like to have answered during one of these episodes, feel free to reach out to me right up here, Instagram at Philly Inc. You can also email me, jason@reinventingthetattoo.com. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Until then, and stay tuned for next Monday. Next Monday, we are back with Skill Building Monday for episode number 148. So hopefully I will see you guys then. Until that point, keep those hands moving, keep everything going, keep pushing forward, and I'll see everyone next Monday. Cheers.